The name of the lesson tonight is Taught by Men. In Israel, back in Isaiah's day, one of the things that God rebuked them about is that they were living their lives based on the rules of men and not based on what God was telling them to do. And even a few hundred years later, when Jesus came along, he rebuked the religious leaders for the same thing. And he quoted this verse in Isaiah that we're going to look at tonight. And he said, you know, you guys, the things that you say, what comes out of your mouth, makes it sound like you're close to God, but really your hearts are far from him. And if we're going to really know God, and if our hearts are going to be close to him, he's the one that's got to be the one leading us and teaching us. It's only him that can change our hearts and cause us to actually be people who are pleasing to him. And if the way we live our lives is really by the teachings and traditions of men that didn't necessarily come from God, then we may look like what we should be, but we won't be. We may say the right things, but they won't be coming from the right place. And so we need to be careful that as we live our lives for the Lord, that we're allowing him to teach us and that he's our teacher and he's the one that's guiding us, and that the things that we're doing in life are in response to what he's telling us to do and not in response to what people think we should do or what people teach us to do, when those things aren't really coming from him. And that's what we see here in Isaiah. Isaiah has been prophesying against Israel, and he's just talked about how God is punishing them for things that they've done, for turning their back on him and worshiping other gods. And in Isaiah 29, verses 9 through 14, Isaiah is prophesying to Israel here. It says, "Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and has covered your heads, namely the seers." He says, he's telling Israel, he says, look around you and wonder at what's going on. Because as God has punished you for chasing after these other gods, and when you did that, what you did was you blinded yourself. When you went after these other ways that weren't God's ways, and when you worshiped these idols that were there in the land when you came into the promised land, what you did was you blinded yourself and you became blind and you turned from God and you could no longer see and hear the things that God was telling you. So as a result, because you blinded yourself and turned away, God then blinded you. Now you have become a people who are drunk and staggering, but you're not drunk with wine. You're drunk because God has poured out on you a spirit of drunkenness, of deep sleep. And the Lord has closed your eyes. And he's made your prophets not be able to see. And he's made your seers not be able to understand. And that's what God tends to do. When a people turn their back on him and go away from him, what he often does is confirm them in that by blinding them and making them to where they can't see or hear. That's part of his punishment to them. And then he gives them an illustration of what it's like. He says, this is what it's like, what's happened to you. He says, the whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men to deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. So this is the illustration he's giving them. He says, God has blinded you, and he has sealed up the truth in such a way that you can't, even if you're capable of seeing it, you can't see it because he's hidden it from you. And if you're not capable of seeing it, then you can't see it because you can't even read. You're not even literate in God's ways. That's kind of the illustration he's giving. He says, what I have done to you is just like that. If a person can read, they can't read what's in the book because the book is sealed and hidden from them. If the person can't read, they're blind to the truth. Then they can't see. Even if it was unsealed, they wouldn't know because they can't see or read. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. This wondrous and marvelous work that God is doing is also a very scary work, right? This isn't the kind of wondrous work like you think of when you think of God delivering Israel out of Egypt, and he did these plagues, and he split the Red Sea, and he fed them manna and led them to the promised land. It's not that kind of wondrous work. It's a different kind of wondrous work. It's a marvelous and wondrous work where he takes the wisdom of their wise men and makes it die. He takes the understanding of their prudent men and hides it from them. Why did he do that? Because the people's hearts had turned from the Lord. They still went through the motions, though. They did the outward practices still. He said, these people, they draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips. They talk a good game, and they talk as if they have honor for me. But they have removed their hearts far from me. They're going through the motions. They're doing all the right things. They're saying all the right things, but their heart's not in it. They didn't come to the place where they were doing those things because God created in them a heart that wanted to do it because they sought him and he made them that kind of person. Instead of seeking him and allowing him to change their hearts, they went their own way. They removed their hearts from him. And then he hardened their hearts. He says, this is really interesting here. He says, their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. What happens when we get in this place, when people get in the place to where they've removed their hearts from God, they're putting on the right outward motions, they're saying the right things, that results from them not having learned about God from God, but having learned about God just from men. It says, their fear toward me, or their worship of me, they've come by it just by being taught by the commandments of men. Now, I've talked about this before. When I first started teaching a long time ago, my teaching was more about my intellectual ability to study and to read and to put together a lesson and to explain information to people. A number of years ago, God changed me to where he opened my eyes to this and showed me that that's not how he wants me to teach. He wants me to teach by his Spirit. Because it's only his Spirit that can change the hearts of people. When men put together lessons and teach people things and lead people in spiritual things, all they can really affect is the mind. Right? A person can change another person's mind. A person has very little effect on another person's heart, because our heart is the real us, where our sin is. Only God can do that. He said their hearts were removed far from them because they learned their fear of God just by the teachings of men. They didn't learn it from God himself. And if you look there, that's verse 13. That next little section on your sheet, I've put that same phrase in there from different translations. The King James Version says, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So a precept is a truth or a teaching or some doctrine. So all that they know about God is what they were taught by men. They don't know God from God himself. So there's a huge difference there. It says, all their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. What is rote? Yeah, it's by repetitive memorization. So, and you see that a lot in churches, that a lot of what goes on is just about repetitive memorization. And if that's all that it is, there's nothing wrong with memorizing things, but if that's all that it is, it doesn't touch the heart, it only touches the mind. It has to be taught by the Spirit of God. God himself has to open the mind and the heart and change the person so that when they speak of him and they draw near to him, it's a draw nearing that is with the heart. It's one that he receives and not one that he pushes away. That's in the New Living Translation. And the NIV says, their worship of me is based merely on human rules that they have been taught. The ESV says, their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. The CSB says, human rules direct their worship of me. The New American Standard says, their reverence of me consists of tradition learned by rote. The NET says, their worship consists of nothing but man-made ritual. And then lastly, the RSV translates it, their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote. So the idea here is that it's possible for us to talk all the right things about God and act in all the right ways, yet we do that not because God has changed our heart and we are a person who is doing it out of our love for him and out of him creating in us Christ, but we're doing it because we memorized a set of rules. We're just following the rules. We're just going by the traditions of all the other people that are around us. We're just doing what we see other people do. We're following the man-made religious thing rather than following God through the Spirit. God doesn't want us to just be taught by men. Now, God has given people the gift of teaching. But that gift is only valuable as the Holy Spirit of God teaches through a person. If that person is just teaching people out of their mind, and if the people receiving it are just receiving it in their mind and learning by memorization and then following the rules, then that is not something that's pleasing to God. In fact, if that's the way people are acting, what God will tend to do is to push them further down that road. He will blind them further. If they're not willing to give him his heart, if they've removed their heart from him, then he will cause their wisdom to perish and their understanding to be hidden. That's what he did to Israel. It appears that in our country that he's doing a lot of that in our country today. There's a lot of, through the years, a lot of religion where people was following the man-made rules. And then we can see today that a lot of that's falling off. People aren't following the man-made rules anymore. They don't go to church. They don't do all the right things. They don't say the right things. They don't believe the right things anymore. And our country is straying from that even more and more. And what God tends to do when a people do that is that he begins to push them in that direction. He begins to hide wisdom from them. Hide their understanding. Jesus quotes from this same passage. It's the same thing that Isaiah is rebuking them for as God speaks through him as his prophet. Jesus rebukes them for the same thing in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. So there's that idea. They're doing this outward thing that everybody says is the right thing to do, but they're doing it by the tradition of their elders that they were taught by them, and it's not something that God taught. It says, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. So there are many other things like this. He gives some other examples of washings, but we'll see further down that it's even broader than that. It's not just about washings. So there are many things like this that they were doing that were outward things that did not please God. And we'll also see that there is the tendency there, when that is how people are operating, is that not only do they do things that God did not ask them to do, but in the process of doing those things, they do them instead of doing things that God actually did tell them to do. And this would be a good example of this here. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" So they come to Jesus. They saw them doing this thing that was against the tradition that they were following. And they come to Jesus and they say, "Why is it that your disciples don't do what the elders say? Why don't they follow the traditions? Why don't they follow the precepts that these men are teaching us? Why don't they follow these man-made rules that we've all memorized? Why aren't they following these rituals that we go through, that we've learned and follow because these elders taught us to?" And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites." So he's saying, Isaiah prophesied about this a few hundred years ago, and he did a good job in that prophecy. He prophesied exactly right about you, and he called them hypocrites. Because what they're doing is they're going through the outward motions, but their heart is not where it should be. They have not allowed God to cleanse and purify and clean and change their heart, so that what they're doing is coming from the heart. Instead, it's coming from the mind, just in response to rules. It says, "As it is written," and this is a quote from the Isaiah passage, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So he's quoting from that passage and saying, look, Isaiah prophesied absolutely correctly about your fathers and about you today. You're still doing the same thing after all this time. You didn't hear what Isaiah had to say. You're still just following the rules, and it's not from the heart. It says, "In vain they worship me." They're doing it in an empty way. "Teaching as doctrines from God things that are actually just the commandments of men." And we've given examples of these sorts of things before, but there are things that, you know, in the American church that are taboo, that the Bible just doesn't say anything about. And those things are not doctrines from God, but they are actually commandments of men. Yet men teach those things as if they are doctrines of God. And he goes on and gives them another example. So they came about the washing, and then he'll go on and give them another example. He says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Things like the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. So he says, what you actually have done is you've laid aside things that God told you to do, and you focused on things that men told you to do. Outward things that everybody else can see, like washing things and all kinds of such things like that. All kinds of outward things that other people can see and measure and say, oh, yeah, they're doing these things, yet they do all the right things. He says, you're doing all these things that men said, and you're laying aside the actual commandments of God to do them. He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." That's one of the bad things about, you know, operating in this way, by tradition and by memorization and by rules, is that we become so focused on the rules that we are likely to actually reject things that God told us to do in order to follow the rules that we think we should follow. A good example of this in a lot of churches that I've been involved in is helping people in need. Oftentimes the church has this set of rules around helping people in need that prevents them from helping a lot of people in need. And if you don't have those rules, if you just ask God, do you want us to help this person in need and help them based on what God says to do, then you're able to follow his command when he says to help needy people. oftentimes they don't get help because of the rules that are put in place. That's an example of laying aside the commandment of God in order to keep the rules that you have. He gives them this example here. He says, "For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. This is a very similar thing. They put in place these rules, and they were put in place to help the temple to get more money. So basically what a person could do is say, I'm going to dedicate my estate, everything that I have, to the temple, and I'm going to give it to God. And when you do that, they would tell that person, now you shouldn't spend all that money taking care of your parents, because if you do, we won't get it. It's kind of the implication there, right? They put in place these rules that actually stopped them from charitably taking care of their parents, because they had apparently done something better by giving it to the temple, right? You dedicate it to God. That's better than taking care of your parents. But God says, wait a minute. I didn't tell you to do that, first of all. Secondly, I told you to take care of your parents. In the same way with that thing about charitable giving, we can come to the conclusion that, you know, we're being good stewards of God's money by putting these rules in place, and we only do it under these certain circumstances. When God says, take care of the poor people, and we should just do it by his leading and not by a set of rules. It's very similar to this situation with the parents. And he says, and many such things you do. So this is an example of something that has nothing to do with washing. It has to do with just dedicating of all your possessions to the temple and to God. Therefore, you don't take care of your parents. It says, in many such things like this you do. There are lots of kinds of things that you have adopted and you do and you believe and you act on, and they're just traditions that have been passed down by men, and they did not come from God at all, and in fact oftentimes keep you from doing what God actually told you to do. Then Jesus, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So if any person is pursuing God with their heart and God is giving them understanding, hear this and understand it. A lot of rules that are in the American church, that a lot of churches have to do with things going into our body, defiling us. Jesus taught very clearly that nothing going into your mouth can defile you. What defiles you is what comes out of your mouth, because it comes from your heart. It's out of, in another place he teaches, it's out of the heart that all of these evil things come. God is concerned that our heart is willing and ready to follow him in whatever way that he asks. And he is not impressed, like other people are, by us following the rules and saying the right things. He wants us to follow his rules. He wants us to follow his leading through the Holy Spirit. He wants us to speak the things that he wants us to speak. Again, you see this same idea about following the commandments and doctrines of men in Colossians 2, 8, and then verses 20 through 23. Paul tells the Colossians, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This is just a really summary of what we've been saying in Isaiah and in Mark there, what Jesus said. He says, be careful. Don't let anybody cheat you or trick you or rob you of your relationship with God through philosophies, empty ideas that are deceitful, traditions that came from men and the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Because all those things come from the head, and Jesus, he changes us in our most fundamental place, in our heart, where our desires and all of our evil or goodness comes from. He is the one that changes us there. If we're just following these other things, we're like those people that Isaiah prophesied against and those that Jesus rebuked. We need to live not according to any of those kinds of things, but according to Christ. According to what he is saying to us, what he is creating in us, what he is leading us to do. And then in verse 20 he says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. It says, if you have died with Christ and have been risen to newness of life in him, why are you still living by the commandments and doctrines of men? Why are you allowing those things to influence you rather than Christ, who has saved you and raised you from spiritual death into life? Why would you continue in those things when you've got Jesus now? It says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It says, these kinds of things, these traditions and these commandments and these doctrines of men, they appear to be a wise thing. But they're not wise at all. They're just self-imposed religion. They're false humility. They're just neglecting of the body for no good reason. Because they are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. The indulgence of the flesh is the sinful things that come out of our sinful heart. All these rules and regulations and rituals that we memorize and try to follow, those things can't do any good. They're of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. They don't help it at all. In fact, they tend to have the opposite effect. They tend to cause us to be prideful and to be more fleshly rather than less. The only thing that is of any value against the indulgence of the flesh is the life of Christ within each one of us, as he changes our heart, draws it close to himself, leads us and guides us in his ways. This is what Isaiah in the next chapter, chapter 30, promised Israel that would happen if they would turn back to him. In Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 22 says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. So in 29, he says, this is what I'm going to do to you. You have turned from me. Your heart is far from me. Even though you go through all the motions and you look like you're doing the right things, your heart is far from me. Therefore, I'm going to blind you. I'm going to deafen you. I'm going to remove wisdom from your midst. I'm going to hide understanding from you so that you will come to a place where you will turn back to me. And that's what he's saying here in chapter 30. The Lord's going to wait. So he did those things to them. Now the Lord's going to wait for them to come to him so he can show them his love and compassion. And that's exactly where God is right now. He is waiting for people to turn from those things of the world and those rules and traditions of men and turn back to him. And when they turn to him, he's sitting there waiting. It's like the father for the prodigal son, sitting there waiting for the opportunity to show his love and compassion. Why? For the Lord is a faithful God. Even though we tend to be an unfaithful people, he is a faithful God. Just waiting for us to come to him. And blessed are those who wait for his help. Blessed are those who turn to him and wait on him and allow him to reveal himself. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask him. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. When we cry out to him, he's sitting there waiting in love and compassion, desiring to help us. And when we cry out to him, He will be gracious. When we cry out to Him, He will surely respond. We can depend on it because He is a faithful God. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, He will still be with you to teach you. As we go through life, there is often much adversity and suffering. And through that, God is using it continually to change us to be like Christ and to bring us to a place where we turn to Him. And when we do, we should know that He will still be right there with us, ready to teach us. No matter what we've gone through, He's right there, waiting with love and compassion, ready to teach, ready to open our eyes, ready to change our hearts, ready to change the inside of us and the way we think and desire and what we want. He's ready, and He says, ready to teach you, and you will see your teacher with your own eyes. He's ready to teach, and He will reveal Himself to you, and you will see Him with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear Him. You know, in multiple places, He talks about those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Those are the ones who have turned to Him and cried out for help. And we see Him and hear Him. And listen to this. Right behind you, a voice. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. He's right there waiting for us. And when we turn to Him, He will teach us. We will see our teacher with our own eyes. We will hear Him with our ears. And we will hear His voice. As we walk, He's walking right there with us, right behind us, whispering in our ear, saying, this is the way you should go, to the left, to the right. Do this, go there, say this. And when you turn to Him and cry out to Him, and He begins to walk with you and speak to you, then you will destroy all of your silver idols and your precious golden images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance. When we turn to Him and cry out to Him, and He teaches us, begins to speak to us, we will learn of Him, our hearts will change, and we will destroy our silver idols and our precious golden images. At the time that Isaiah was prophesying, Israel was chasing after false gods of the people in the land that they had inhabited. They had silver and golden images, and they would make images out of wood and pillars, and they would worship those things on the high places, on the tops of the hills. And that's what he's talking about here. Today in our country, we're not doing much of that. But we are doing a whole lot of rules and traditions and precepts and rituals and commandments and doctrines of men. So I kind of substituted that in here on this last little phrase there. Same sentence with the silver idols, but I changed it to be the things that we seem to have more of a problem with in today's church. When we have turned to Him and He is teaching us, and we see our teacher with our own eyes. He's given us spiritual eyes to see Him, to see the work that He's doing around us. And with our own ears, He's given us the spiritual ears to hear Him. And He's right behind us, and His voice is directing us. And He's saying, this is the way that you should go. You should turn left here, turn right there, do this, say this. Then you will destroy all the rules, traditions, precepts, rituals, commandments, and doctrines of men. You will throw them out like dirty rags, saying to them, good riddance. God wants us to be a people who are taught by Him. He will teach us through men. But there's a big difference between being taught by Him through men and being taught by men. We need to allow God to open our eyes as He speaks, as He's walking behind us and He's speaking in our ear and He's saying, do this and do that. We need to listen and be willing to give up these things that we've perceived as being right things when God says, that's not really what I told you to do. You know, you're being a hypocrite. You're doing this thing because that's what you think you should do, what people have told you to do. I never told you to do that. I told you to do this, and this is keeping you from doing what I told you to do. Your heart is too far away from me. Those are the kinds of things that he wants to guide us in. He wants to show us those things and lead us and guide us and direct us. It brings us to a place to where our heart is filled with him, with his life and his spirit, and our heart desires the things that he desires. And our heart is able to be turned and led by him to the left and to the right, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to say, and who he wants us to say it to. Let's be careful that we're not taught by men, that we're not living by the rituals, by the commandments of men, by traditions, by human rules. But instead, we're being led by God, by his Spirit, and by his Word, precisely according to his will, giving glory to him and experiencing him in an intimate way and enjoying that fellowship with our God.